I'm going to read from James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, but I'm going to read from the Weymouth translation. If you have an electronic Bible, you may want to look that up as I read this. It's available. What good is it, my brethren, if a man professes to have faith, yet his actions do not correspond? I like that. It's a little different translation. You know, in the King James, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Now again, if you go through the book of James in the first couple of chapters, it begins to, I don't want to use it, well, I guess you could say it uses a comparison between faith and works, but it's not talking about the works of the law, it's talking about the works of faith. So in this case here, when the Weymouth translation talks or presents it this way, if a man professes to have faith. So we run into that all the time. People say, I have faith. Or let me put it another way, I'm standing in faith. Or I'm standing on the word. I always like to say, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, you ought to ask somebody, okay, first of all, you ought to tell them, ask them, what word are you standing on? Because a lot of times it's a cliche. I'm standing on the word. Okay, what scripture, what verse, what chapter and verse are you standing on? And what's the next thing? What have you done? Because standing sometimes means I'm believing. But then there has to be a corresponding action with that. So that corresponding action, it says here, if your profession of faith does not correspond to your action, it's dead faith. It's just talk. It's I believe. But there's no corresponding action. That's what he's saying here. If you're believing, if your profession of faith does not line up with your, if your actions don't line up or don't correspond, it's dead faith. It's not living faith. Verse 15, suppose a Christian brother or sister is poorly clad or lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, I wish you well, keep yourselves warm and well fed, and yet you do not give them what they need. What is the use of that? So also faith, if it is unaccompanied by obedience, has no life in it, so long as it stands alone. So this is saying here, faith can stand alone. It's just dead. So you can have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith can come, but if there's no corresponding action, it's alone. It's dead. And we'll progress here as we go along. Verse 18, nay, someone will say, you have faith, I have actions. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding actions, and I will prove mine to you by my actions. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, and you are quite right. Evil spirits also believe this and shudder. But idle boaster, are you willing to be taught how it is that faith apart from obedience is worthless? Take the case of Abraham, our forefather. Was it or was it not because of his actions that he was declared to be righteous as the result of his having offered up his son Isaac upon the altar? Verse 22, you notice that his faith, I like the way this is written, you notice that his faith was cooperating with his actions. Your faith must cooperate with your actions. And that by his actions, his faith was perfected. And then it continues down, of course, talking about Abraham and so forth. And verse 26, for just as a human body without a spirit is lifeless, so also faith is lifeless if it is unaccompanied by obedience. So there's got to be an action that accompanies your profession of faith. If you say, I believe that I'm healed, if you say, I believe my needs are met, then there needs to be a corresponding action to that. And typically, we would say, if I believe, then there's a profession. There's a confession, then there's an action, and then from there, there's a feeling or there's a response. There's a manifestation of something that you're believing for. So the actions of a doer of the word coincides with their confession. So if you're a doer of God's word, then there's a coincidence, or there's your action coincides with your confession. So your actions should be in perfect fellowship with your confession. Does everybody understand that? So what does it mean? We were, you know, some things came out this morning. What does it mean to believe with the heart? It means to believe with your spirit. Your heart is the place. You cannot believe with your intellect. Faith is a product of the spirit man. This inward conviction or assurance is of our spirit. So the conviction, the assurance, comes up and out of your spirit, not your intellect. Your intellect will look at something and convince you or try to convince you it's not possible. You will never have it. You will never get it. It's doomsville for you. That's what the intellect will tell you. The only thing that your intellect will tell you, or say it another way, your intellect learns by the senses. Yes. What it sees, what it hears, what it smells, what the touch. Those things are what tell the intellect it's either going good or not good. You're either going over or you're going under. But the heart, faith from the heart, will convince you, will assure you in the face of contradictory things that you see and you can hear and touch. Your heart will say, we're going over. We've got this. That's why we can say, I'm blessed. Why? Why would my heart be convinced and assured that I'm blessed when I look like I'm not? And my conditions tell me, you are not blessed. You're broke. And you will never be blessed. Oh, yes, I will. So my convictions come, my assurance comes from the Word of God. And that's where it needs to come from. So here, that's when you're not feeling convinced, when you're not feeling conviction or assurance, that's a key, isn't it? I'm not spending enough time meditating in the Word of God. Or I'm looking at the circumstances more than the Word of God. That's right. But when I bury my face in the Word and I meditate there and I talk the Word, the assurance and the convictions will rise and supersede and overcome what I see. Isn't that not true? And, you know, in today's society, stuff is being poured out in, we call it like waves, one thing after another. You don't even have time to take a breath. It's like, okay, that's on boom, 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 boom. And if you're not in God's Word, if you're not staying there and meditating, listening to faith-filled teaching, and keeping that playing and keeping that, you know, in your ear and your eye gate, you're going to run into some challenges. I'm just telling you the truth. Because at some point, there may be something that comes into your life that's bigger than you've ever faced. And you're like, whew, I got to sit down. Or it will literally, it could pull, or they say, knock the air out of you. It'll take your thinking and your mental realm to a place where you're like, ooh, there's no, I'm done. I'm finished. No, that's the time that you go to God. I've walked through a couple of those. A few. Where it looked like I'm dead. D-E-A-D, dead, gone. 6 feet under. But God. And His Word. See. So nothing is impossible to those who do what? Try to figure it out? No, nothing's impossible to those who believe. So when you run up against things that are impossible, that's the time to believe. That's the time to get into God's Word and get convinced that we're going over. We're not going under. Not going to happen. Faith that takes comes from the heart. Amen. So to believe with all of our heart is to believe independently of our senses. You are going to have to believe independently of your senses. You've got to believe the Word. See, because you can believe. But what is it that you're believing? Are you believing your senses or are you believing God and His Word? See, because you have the right to believe. But it's what we believe is key, isn't it? Let's look at Matthew 9. We're going to look at a few scriptures, not too many, but a few. Give us some insight here. Matthew 9. Starting in verse 27. Just going to take a quick look here. Matthew 9, verse 27. This is the two blind men that came to Jesus crying. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Anybody ever here need mercy? Yeah. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me, Lord. I messed up. Have mercy. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then what? Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to my power, according to your faith, be it unto you. So what happened here? It was their faith that initiated the healing. Let me read a few other translations. The Goodspeed. Have what your faith expects. Have what your faith expects. The Knox translation. Your faith shall not be disappointed. Here's a few thoughts to consider. And you really don't need it. It's so anyways, whether you consider them or not. You don't receive based on your need. You don't receive based on your wants. Because a lot of people want stuff. And a lot of people need stuff. And you don't receive based on your needs. You don't receive based on your wants. You don't receive based on what's right and fair. You don't. Something could be right and fair, you won't receive it. Just because it's right and fair doesn't mean you'll receive it. You don't receive just because it's the perfect will of God. That sometimes gets people to think. But just because it's the perfect will of God, you don't receive it automatically. I'll put it to you that way. You do not automatically receive from God just because it's his perfect will. Here's a few scriptures to consider. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. So just because salvation is available, he's not willing that any should perish. But do people automatically get saved just because it's his will that none perish? No. 1 Timothy, it says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So are people perishing? Yes. And it's his will that they don't, but they're not receiving. Why? Because they're not coming and taking it by faith. They are going to have to initiate, come to God, believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. They're going to have to come in faith and profess that Jesus is the Christ. He's the one that was raised from the dead. And then their faith will activate the power of God to cause them to be saved. That's no different with anything else. Just because God desires you to be healed and healing has been paid for, you don't automatically receive it just because it's the will of God. You know, you hear people say, well, whatever the will of God is, well, we already know what it is. That's not scriptural when you do that, when people say that. Well, we don't know what to pray for. Well, whatever God's will is concerning him or her, we already know what his will is. We know what his will is concerning our prosperity. So those things we don't have to pray for. We need to do what? Take them. We need to take them. Because they're ours to receive. And our faith receiving it activates the power of God and causes that to be active in our lives or manifest. So that action on our part is key. So according to your faith, you receive. So say this, I am a believer. I have faith. And my faith works. I'm a believer. I have faith. And my faith works. Go over to Mark 9. And look at verse 14. If there's anything you're waiting on God for, you need to go to Him and ask Him how or what to, you know, what scriptures or what process to use. You need to hear from Him. Once you do, then you need to act. You need to release your faith. Mark 9. This is an interesting story here. You can just imagine Jesus has just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration. So we have this, he has this circumstance here. And starting in verse 14, it says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to salute him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Throw to the ground, I guess you could say, or convulsion, or, you know, some type of issue. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answering him saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. What does faithless mean to you? No faith, right? Something faithless means no faith. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And of course, when Jesus saw the people coming, he rebuked the foul spirit and saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch as they said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Hallelujah. He was delivered. But he had to believe and he had to receive. So somewhere along the line, his believing came from hearing something about Jesus. He had to have. Even though we don't see anything recorded here, somewhere he had to have heard something about Jesus. And he believed. And that's why when Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he cried out and said, I do believe. Amen. Turn over a couple of pages to Mark 11. I want to focus on these few verses here. On Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Some of the other translations, I like some of these renderings. It says, has no inward doubts, but believes that what he says is happening, it will be done for him. This other, the Rieu translation says, does not waver in his heart, but believes that what he says is done, it will be done for him. And the Weymouth, it says, has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen. Or you could say there's what? No hesitation. Now, this particular translation called the Johnson translation, it says, and does not become separated from the statement he makes. So, in other words, your profession of faith must be the same. You can't be separated from what you believe. So if you believe you're healed, then your statement, your profession, or your confession can't be different than what you believe. That's what this is saying. You can't be separated. Does not become separated from the statement he makes. That person will actualize his statement. Now, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. One is saying, and this verse is praying. Now, these are a few other translations on verse 24. Now, the King James, it says, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The Good News Bible says, believe that you have received it. That's a little different. And you will be given whatever you ask for. The Moffat's translation says, believe you have got it. Believe you've got it. The Godby translation, believe that you just now received them. And the Phillips translation says, believe that you have received it. Or you could say, believe that you've taken it. If I extend something or I say to you, this is available, and you say, I receive that, what have you done? You've taken it. Well, if you've taken something, then you have it. So if I have something, why would I talk like I don't? Because what that means is, if you talk like you don't have it, then it was not faith. It was just talk. And you need to consider that, because if it's living faith, because that's what this is talking about here, when it says in verse 22, have the God kind of faith, have faith in God, this is living faith. This is the God kind of faith. Well, what's the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is something that's convinced that they have it. So when I pray, I believe that those things that I desire, I receive them, what? When I pray, and you shall have them. So when I pray, I receive it, and I take it. Once I've taken it, I have it. Thus, I should not become separated from that which I believe and what I've taken. If you put your shoes on, why would you talk like you're barefoot? I need to put my shoes on. Well, you got them on. You took them. If you have money, if you've just received, let's say you just received, now again, in the natural. See, this is the problem sometimes. We're basing our faith and our confession on things we see. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is independent of what I see. So I don't see money in the bank, but I believe that I've received it and taken it, and now my profession of faith is not separated from what I just took by faith. Is that another way of saying it? So that way, I take this. I take healing. I take peace of mind. I take something that's the peace of God that I don't worry. So if you're a person that's worrying about something, then you do what? You take the peace of God. So when worry comes, you go, I'm not worrying about that. I have the peace of God. Now your body, your senses, your mind is going to start telling you all of these signals and things that are going to do what? Cause you to worry. Now if you begin to profess something different, then you've become separated. That means you're leaning to what you can see. But faith takes. Faith takes something and does not become separated from their profession of faith. What is it when you read, and some of you may know this, some of you may not, but the scripture in verse 24, it says, believe that ye receive them and you shall have them. That word receive in the Greek is the word lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. It means to take. It means to receive what is offered. It means not to refuse or reject. It means to take possession of. It means to appropriate to oneself. It means to take what is one's own. Healing is yours. So you can take what's yours, and you take it. That's why when you hear Brother Hagin through his life, he would go somewhere. I know one time he said he had had some symptoms of a stroke. His whole face was dragged down on one side. He went, he said, I'm just going to have this pastor lay hands on me and I'm going to receive it. I'm going to take my healing. He went, he said, the pastor just prayed a simple prayer. Amen. He said, I take it. He said, everybody said to him, you don't look healed. He said, I got it. I took it. And they kept telling him, you don't look different. He said, but I got it. I took it. And he said, a whole day went by, but the next day, and they all day, the young people were saying, but your face is this way. It's this way. It's still dragging. It's still drooping. It's this. It's that. He said, I took my healing. I have it. I took it. And he didn't become separated from what he took. If you took something in the natural, if I handed out and said, here, and you took this and you put it in your pocket, why would you talk like it's not there? You took it. You have it. Faith is tangible, just like this money is. But sometimes we're looking at the natural and saying, that's bigger, that's more tangible than faith. When in fact, faith is more tangible. It's more real than this natural realm. So, in Brother Hagin's case, 24 hours later, his whole face was cleared up. Everything was normal. Because he took it. He received it. So, you take it by faith. Let's go to Mark 10. Let's back up another chapter here. Let's look at verse 49. This is about the story of blind Bartimaeus. And I'm going to jump in the story here in verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He's talking about Bartimaeus. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Whose faith? You know what's interesting, and let's back up in this, let's go over to the woman with the issue of blood. Here's the situation. They're walking through this area. Jesus, he's calling. He heard Jesus. He must have heard Jesus is in the area. And it says here, they came to Jericho. So they're in the area. And blind Bartimaeus is yelling out, have mercy upon me. And they kept telling him, shh, shh, shh. Be quiet. But that man was going to get something. He was going to take what he believed Jesus would provide. And so he took it. Now, obviously, there had to be faith there because he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. So, this is something that we need to grasp this very moment, that if there's anything that you're waiting on God to do something, you need to take it. When? Now. Take it now. Receive it. Take it. Some of us have been waiting too long for some things. Take it. It's mine. I take it. And once you've taken it, don't become separated from your profession of faith and what you've taken. And a lot of times people become separated because of what they're walking through, the conditions. It doesn't seem like, it doesn't look like things are changing. You know, just keep your finger in Mark and go back to, I'll show you something here for just to consider. Well, no, we're right here, Mark 9. Let's go back to Mark 9, and then we'll go back to Mark 5. Look at this. Now, here Jesus just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. And here this child is got some spirits that are causing him to act up. And here's the point, that Jesus, this man, this father, is there asking Jesus to do something, and Jesus is saying, and this is the thing here. Look at verse 20. It says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. Now, look at the next verse. Did Jesus get rattled? He started having a conversation with the man while his child is writhing all over the floor. So how long has this been going on? He's having a chat with the father. He's not moved by the conditions of this child. His faith is not, oh boy, what are we going to do now? This child is acting up. And so the point here is that when you receive something, when you have faith to take something, when conditions don't change in front of you, it don't matter. You took your, whatever it is you took, by what? By faith. Don't be moved by circumstances or what you see, what's going on. Now let's go back to Mark 5. And so this woman had an issue of blood 12 years. And she did everything she knew to do at that time with the physicians, spent all her money. Not any better, grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Some of the other translations, the Amplified says, for she kept saying. And the Williams translation says, for she kept saying, if I can only touch his clothes, I shall get well. The Wiest says, for she kept saying, if I touch even his garments, I shall be whole. So she kept saying, if I just touch him. She had a lot of natural circumstances that would and conditions that would really should have prevented her from even venturing out, even going in that crowd. But she said, she kept saying she was going to take something. So when you're here's a picture of someone who's what? When Jesus came down, and he's verse 34, said, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith, thy assurance, thy convictions have made thee whole. So somebody who kept saying in the face of contradictory circumstances, I'm going to do this, I'm going to have this, if I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Faith is convinced. Faith is assured that what they've believed, they're going to have. This woman was convinced. Why? Because of something she heard. So she was convinced. So you can't leave something up to God that he's left up to us. He's left up to us to have faith and to take something made available to us. So he's made through the covenant that we have, he's made available provisions. And our responsibility is to do what? Take them. Once you've taken them, don't become separated with your words, with your profession of faith. So our faith receives what grace, his grace, has provided. Grace provides, faith receives. Grace provides, faith receives. So our faith receives what grace has provided. Does that register? So you're going to have to reach out, lay hold, and take it. Something that you've, or anything, whatever it is, that you're waiting on God, you need to take, believe that you receive. I don't care if it's a job. I don't care if it's a school you want to go to. But I'm telling you, if I had learned some of these things before I went to college, the process of getting into college and going through would have been a whole lot different. A whole lot different. But we know better. You ought to start saying, if you're in high school, you ought to start saying, I receive this. I have this. What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you take it. I believe I'm going to have this and do this. Now again, we get direction from the Lord. We get guidance from him. But things that seem impossible to do are possible with him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. As they say, what is your bucket list? You know, we may think that's funny, but we have not, because you ask and you don't take. You know, God doesn't care whether you have five cars, five homes, five whatever. He doesn't care. What has your heart? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we need to put some things in perspective. Sometimes we don't have because we're not taking what's rightfully ours. We can't blame him. This woman could have continued another 12 years with the issue of blood if she made it and not received because she didn't take it. So if there's something in your life you desire, take it. Take it. It says right there, what things soever you desire when you pray. It doesn't say, you know, whatever things you desire, I'm just going to wait on the Lord and see. Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray. Believe you take it, and you might have it. Oh, it says you will. Amen. I believe it. How about you? I believe that the things that are coming on this earth, God is looking for a people that will rise up, take him at his word, and take things in the face of contradictory circumstances. Things that in your life, there's got to be something in all of our lives that seem in the natural impossible. Can't have it, can't do it. It doesn't seem possible. That's the time we ought to say, you know what? I'm just going to reach out and take this by faith just because it seems impossible. I'm going to prove God. If he said all things are possible to them who believe, then I'm going to take this one or two things and I'm just going to put my faith on it and prove God. Prove him. Amen. That's what I'm doing. I'm sticking my faith out in things that don't seem possible. And we just reach out there and take hold of it. And don't let go. Don't become separated because things don't appear to be working. Oh no, they're working. They're working. Faith works. God said, he is not a man that he will lie. He will bring to pass his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. Father, we take to heart your word. We take to heart your promises that they're yea and amen. And they're settled in heaven and they can't change. So we thank you and we take hold of the promises of God. And we thank you, Father, that the things that in each one of our lives seem impossible, we take the word of God and we release our profession of faith in our lives and we thank you that we have it. And it not maybe come to pass, it shall, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. Amen.